Welcome to The Beat, a podcast series from the cops office at the Department of Justice, featuring interviews with experts from a varied field of disciplines. The Beat provides law enforcement with the latest developments and trending topics in community policing. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on The Beat. I'm Jennifer Donnellan, your host. We are at Howard University in the nation's capital at a forum discussing issues related to women and law enforcement. And I have the sheer honor of being joined right now by Chief Vera Bumpers. Chief Bumpers was appointed as the first woman chief of police at Metro in Houston. She guides and leads the second largest transit law enforcement agency in Texas. Chief Bumpers, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Can you talk about gender diversity in law enforcement as a topic and what we'll be talking to our audience about today?
Right. Well, I think gender diversity is important. It's important because it's reflective of the communities that we serve. So I think our law enforcement agencies should see someone on there that looks like them. So I think we're doing a great disservice when we don't make an effort and be intentional about ensuring that we have diversity in our police departments. This is the important, whether you're a male leader or a female leader, it's important for you to be intentional about having a diverse workforce.
Let me take you back to the beginning. What inspired you to make the decision to pursue a career in law enforcement?
What inspired me goes way back. I'm originally from Mobile, Alabama, but I grew up in San Antonio, Texas. And every year my family would travel back from San Antonio to Alabama. And we always braced ourselves because we knew at that time, we're talking about in the 60s, that we would be stopped, mainly for no reason. And we would often go to stopping locations to use the bathroom, and they would tell my father, no, he said, can my family use the restroom here? No, they cannot. And so this one particular incident was my father was pulled over by a state trooper, and I remember they went or had him open the trunk, took all of our stuff, threw it along the highway, and questioned my dad and just talked to him really ugly. We're all looking out the back seat, the windows are down. And after they did all of that, couldn't find anything, they drove off. That really stuck with me. All the years we had traveled back and forth, I never questioned my dad. He'd get back in the car, even with the restroom issue. He'd say, we'll find somewhere else. We'll drive somewhere else. But it was no discussion. My mom didn't say anything. Nobody said anything. And this particular time, as I watched my dad pick up all the stuff from the side of the highway, and he got back in the car, and I said, why do you keep allowing this to happen? Why do you let them do this? Why don't you say something? And my dad said, you don't understand. I have to protect my family. And that stuck with me. I have to do something, because when he said, you don't understand, I have to protect my family, then who's going to do something? Because that was my question to him. Why don't you do something? And so I knew then that I wanted to help people. My goal was to be a social worker. And some type of way the paths got crossed and I got into law enforcement. I like to think about the good that can be done in this role. And I've stressed that in my department now about being community servants and being servant leaders. I think it's important to be a servant leader. And so I push that with the officers and the personnel I work with now.
You're inspired by your experiences. You take good from bad, mm-hmm. and you decide that you want to enter into law enforcement. Mm-hmm. There's the African-American experience, but there's also the female experience. Mm-hmm. Did at any point, did your gender, beyond your skin color, did mm-hmm. your gender, because you're entering into mm-hmm. a male-dominated mm-hmm. field, were there challenges being a woman?
Yes, there were a lot of challenges being a woman. The agency, when I started, I was the second female hired. And shortly after I started, the first female hired, she decided to go to law school. So she quit the department. So I was only female for a couple of years.
You were the only one?
Only one.
Wow.
And so one of the things, my stature, I'm not very tall.
And which agency is this, by the way? Take us back.
But same one I'm
same
with
one.
Now.
Same one, okay.
And so I remember that the old cars, you know, before we had separate seating, you know, it was one seat and you'd have to pull the entire seat up. So none of the guys, one guy, he always, he was training me, and he just gave me a hard time all the time. He just talked bad, you know, and I wouldn't say anything. I was young. I was new. I was just like, okay, I'm going to go with the program. And this particular day, he said, I'm tired of chauffeuring you around. You think you're a queen. You think you're somebody special. I didn't say anything. He said, you driving today. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, good. So when we switched seats, and I pulled a seat all the way up where his knees were in his chin. So he said, you know, we're driving. I could see he was uncomfortable. He said, pull over, pull over. And so I stopped. I said, what's wrong? He said, get out. And so we switched seats. And he never brought that up again.
How did you overcome those challenges?
It was going through all that. It was my dad again. I would call him and I said, you know, I can't do this job. Because at that time I was the only woman. I said, I just can't do this job. I said, can you please come get me, help me pack and move back? Mm-hmm. He said, you'll be fine. Hang in there. You can do it. I call him again. He said, I'm busy. Let me call you back. We have a bad connection.
Right, I can't hear you.
So from that, you know, I went to the guy who had really was the one that recruited me there. And so I went to talk to him. He was my friend, and we had went to college together. And so I told him, I said, look, these guys are giving me a hard time. I just can't do this. And he said, you'll be fine. I wanted him to intervene and help me. I wanted him to ride in on that horse and say, hey, leave her alone.
Right.
He said, you'll be fine. And I made a decision because obviously they saw potential in me that I didn't see in myself. And I said, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to be the best officer I can be. Because I was applying at other jobs. Nothing was opening up. Decided to invest in myself, going to conferences, reading, signing up for courses, and I was doing this on my own. I never asked the department.
As a woman, take us through your career path through the agency, but then the things that you did that moved you forward. Mm-hmm. I am sure that there are those who look and say, well, she's a woman. They had to move a woman here, and they had to move a woman there. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to you right now, and I'm hearing all that elbow grease you put in so that you were qualified.
Yes, yes, and that was my point. I wanted them to know, if I moved, it was going to be because I was qualified, no other reason, and that I wanted them to see that I can do this job just like you can. Yeah, I may have to pull the seat up a little closer. I may even have to sit on a pillow sometimes, depending on how big the car is, but that my stature has nothing to do with my qualifications. And I wanted them to understand, beyond me, any woman that came through the door after me, it was because she was qualified. And so I believe that I had set the tone for all those women that would come behind me because they started to hire more women. And so I saw the attitudes change with a lot of the men, and where even I had a voice even before I became a supervisor, where they had started coming to me and saying, what do you think about this? Because they did not know. Even when I went back to get my master's, I said nothing to anyone. I quietly did my thing behind the scenes to prepare myself, because when my name was called, I wanted to be ready. And I'd also like to mention NOBLE, National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives. Currently, I am the first national vice president. I will ascend to the presidency in July 2018.
Oh, wow. Congratulations to you.
So
and can
exciting.
You tell what people what NOBLE is?
NOBLE is a national organization where we have members from throughout the United States, from law enforcement agencies. It was designed for lieutenants and above. We're over 40 years now. But we do allow sergeants, officers, civilians, support personnel to be a part of the organization. I think NOBLE is really one of the organizations that was huge in my career coming up. I joined as a sergeant, and just to go to the conferences and see the leaders in the room, see the leaders in the hallway, it was just powerful to hear their testimonials and hear how their insight and what they were doing to lead their organizations. It just built something up. It fired me up every year when I would go, and I'd come back just telling everybody about just the experience I had, because at that time, you didn't really get to see leadership that looked like you. Mm-hmm. So to see that, it was powerful. But beyond that, it's just not for African Americans. We have members of all races, and we are very inclusive in that. but the national website has all the information on chapters as well as what's going on in the regions and at the national office.
And what's the website?
It's NOBLE.org, National okay. Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives.
What specific obstacles are there for women in law enforcement? But then I also want to talk about the opposite, mm-hmm. the things that are really there that women might not think about mm-hmm. that should be a draw for them in mm-hmm. law enforcement. But mm-hmm. what would you say would be specific obstacles for women or perceived obstacles mm-hmm. for women in law enforcement and wanting to follow that path?
One of the things that I've noticed is that balancing the family with the children. Mm-hmm. You know, mom is the one, she's the go-to person in the home. So for women who may have children, women who are thinking about one day wanting to get married and have children, and in law enforcement, it's a 24/7 job, and there's shift work, and you know you come in, you have to pay your dues and maybe work those shifts where you don't have weekends off. It's finding those things to show them that there can be balance. There are many right. departments now that are exploring having daycares at the department.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I sat down with a young lady who had just had a baby, and I had to change her schedule. Well, she would be working at nights. And so when I made the schedule change, I saw her. She looks really strange. And then she came. She said, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Sure." And she came in, and she just started crying. She said, "My baby, what am I going to do with my baby?" I said, let's talk this through. Mm-hmm. So I started throwing out suggestions. We left that meeting, and she was very appreciative, but she said it's just things she had not thought about. And I think once women understand that they can do this job in balance and have the family, have the personal time, and how rewarding being a part of a public servant is a rewarding profession, and I still think it's one of the most noble professions.
Well, and you said at the beginning that, you know, it really requires all to be at the table so that we're making best decisions.
Right.
What is the draw for women in law enforcement? What would you say to women that you might not realize, but once you're on this side, mm-hmm. you get to affect this? Mm-hmm. Instead of obstacles, what would mm-hmm. you say are the positives?
I think the positives is just probably what some of them do already. If you're engaged with your child at your school and you love working with young people, you have that opportunity to do that in law enforcement. If you want to see change even with our senior people, you have opportunity to do that. You have that authority to do things that most people would not be able to do. And you can do it in a positive way where it's not a negative. You may have an opportunity to talk to one young person who made a bad decision that you have an option whether you take them to jail or not. But you may be that one voice that turns their life around.
Sure.
And so I always try to encourage people to say, we all have an obligation to impact the next generation. Mm-hmm. We all have an obligation to be a positive influence in our area, in our communities, no matter what we do. But why not do it with the uniform on? I always said, no one can stand in the street and stop an 18-wheeler except someone with a uniform and a badge.
I like that. From your perspective and experience, what have you seen change? What has changed for women since you entered law enforcement?
I think the respect of our men counterparts, mm-hmm. Colleagues. You see now where there are more women who are chiefs of police. It seems like every week it popping up, there's another female chief of police. We're not really focusing on the fact that we're female, but we're focused on the fact that we're professionals and we're here to lead an organization in a productive way. But I've seen that men now are quick, you know, back in the past they would say, what is she doing? That she doesn't know what she's doing. But now it's a respect mm-hmm. where they're proud to say, this is my chief. Mm-hmm. And they want people to know the job that you're doing. And it's nothing more rewarding than that. As a leader, to know that those who are following respect you and respect what you do and consider you a professional. And I always tell people that as a leader, if you think you're a leader, nobody's following you, just out for a long walk.
What do you see as a way forward to promote gender diversity in law enforcement overall?
I think that those who are not in the profession but still have some ties to it can promote it also. It's beyond just us wearing the uniform, but it's those persons, the teachers, telling students when they go to career fairs or when they're talking, if you ever considered a career in law enforcement, inviting us in to talk to the students. I think this will be a conversation that goes well beyond the four walls of our departments. And one of the things that I try to do is engage. But I think we have to get out more. We have to be intentional about going into the communities, to the schools, to the churches, to talk to young people, and even talking to those who may say, I'm ready for another career.
Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners about, and you know, they're going to be police mm-hmm. executives listening to mm-hmm. this and other officers. Any final thoughts as we all move forward to mm-hmm. Trying to increase diversity overall in mm-hmm. law enforcement?
I would say, especially to those who are uniform personnel, that I thank them for their service. Every opportunity I get, I thank the men and women who protect us every day in our communities. We don't always say thank you, or we'll wait to Police Week to say it, or when something happens to an officer, but I really thank them for their service and sacrifice. And I thank the families, because your family has to support you. Mm-hmm. And I always say we don't want to invest more in this profession than we do in our families, because we have to put just as much, because they're there, they're worried about you, they're sacrificing, they know you're out there, so it almost feels like they're out there. And I would say don't ever get to a point where you can't reach back and help somebody else. I tell them, you know, if the elevator gets you to the top where you succeeded to those ranks of leadership, make sure you send the elevator back for someone else and you sow into someone else's life, because it's about us continuing to build people of empowerment and those who are professional and those who want to make a difference in our communities. You know, our youth depend on us making sure that we have qualified, committed law enforcement officers.
Chief Bumpers, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, audience, for listening to The Beat. The Beat is brought to you by the United States Department of Justice's COPS Office. The COPS Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems. If you have comments or suggestions, please email our response center at askcopsrc@usdoj.gov or check out our social media on Facebook, www.facebook.com/DOJ Cops, on YouTube, www.youtube.com/C/DOJ Cops Office, or on Twitter @Cops Office. Our website is www.cops.usdoj.gov. The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.